This is James Murray on behalf of Marcia McMahon, host of Peaceful Planet, inviting you to join us as we share messages from the Ascended Masters and Archangels with the intention of lifting you up into a higher vibration of love and peace for the planet. Do you like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? Then tune in to Peaceful Planet every other Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central on BBS Radio Station 1. Each week, we bring you cutting-edge world teachers, and we share with you profound works like the Jesus Mysteries, the Ascension Series, and other divinely inspired messages and music. Do you want to accelerate your spiritual purpose? If so, then sign up for a psychic reading, Reiki healing, or an angel class with spiritual teacher Marcia McMahon. Just visit DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com for more information. You'll also find divinely inspired channel artwork from Princess Diana, John Lennon, and Archangel Michael. Don't forget to check out Marcia's latest release, available on Amazon.com, entitled Notes from John, Message from Across the Universe, featuring the messages of the late John Lennon and inspired lyrics to the songs of the Half-Beats. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to hearing from you on the Peaceful Planet Show every other Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, on BBS Radio Station 1.
Oh, welcome, everyone, to this evening's episode of the Peaceful Planet Show. We are so delighted to have teachings from the goddess this evening and our wonderful guest, Tricia McCannon. Much like my name, I'm Marcia McMahon. She is Tricia McCannon, and she's written a wonderful book. But before we get to that, I have a few announcements and some messages from the Divine Feminine, which we're going to be discussing all evening, and we're so delighted to have our very special guest. We've waited quite a long time to have you with us, Tricia. So if you are listening and you want to call in a brief question, our call-in number on line one is 888-627-6008. If you would like to receive a blessing from the Divine Mother. Otherwise, I will go ahead and make my announcements and read some of the messages of the Divine Feminine. And so one of the announcements I have is that I've recently re-released Ascension Teachings with Archangel Michael by Marcia McMahon, and this little volume is packed full of wisdom from the Archangel Michael and the Ra group and the Elohim on the Earth changes and what to expect in the coming years of the Earth change to the new Earth. And we're discussing topics like that on how to make a better Earth and a more peaceful planet, as always. And Archangel Michael leads the way into the Ascension energies and into the new Earth. That is now available in paperback version. It was originally just a ebook, and I want to thank my publisher, Dorothy Mercer, and you can pick it up on Amazon, and it's also linked to the BBS website. So it's got a great deal of wisdom, including channeled messages from Jesus on the Earth changes and what to expect, and messages from Mother Mary and the Divine Feminine Spiritual Hierarchy. So I've been hosting the Peaceful Planet for a long, long time, and as many of you listeners know, I channel Princess Diana, and I just turned on the news and sadly saw that there was another terrorist attack in London. I don't know what is exactly happened, but it appears that, you know, their country is under siege. And a while back, I had channeled a message from Princess Diana on her thoughts on the Manchester Terrorism, and I'd like to briefly read that because it highlights my work with Diana over the years. And so, dear Princess Diana, I know you're busy comforting the afflicted on the other side, and most especially those dear children wounded and taken out of this world so sadly in the horrible act of terrorism in Manchester, UK. Diana, you're quite right. Marcia today has been extremely busy at the DR, and I'm afraid to say that I'm holding a young one here in my own arms who just came over. When will this ridiculous bloodshed stop? To think of all this terrorism could have been stopped years ago with my book with you, and, of course, the first one being Princess Diana's Message of Peace, and the second book, With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts. Just know that I'm extending my loving compassion this evening to those souls that are crossing over and so many more that are suffering and confused. I meet them at the hospital wards, and we're seeing to it that the children have greeting committees and personal assistance to help them psychologically cope with what has happened. None of us were expecting this, and we're very saddened at the spreading terrorism in my country, England. I am spreading out my loving heart of vast love both here in heaven and on earth. The tears are pouring forth from my eyes. It is a sad and tragic day for humanity and for England. All my love in a troubled time, Diana. So that echoes, of course, tonight's sad events as well. And then on another note, I have another message to share with our listeners this evening. And Diana was referencing my two republished books, With Love from Diana and Princess Diana's Message of Peace, all republished thanks to the wonderful Dorothy Mercer, my publisher. So this is from the late John Lennon, who I have had the pleasure of knowing and hearing from, and he's creating most of the music, along with George, for the show this evening. And the book I've written with John is Notes from John, Messages from Across the Universe. So here's John's brief message. Hello, love, this is John coming in. We had something to say a while ago, and it's still so true that all you need is love. We're very saddened about what happened in Manchester at the Ariana concert. Rock concerts are all about love and peace, and they used to be totally devoted to this. To see this many young people taken from the world without thought of their life is inhumane and outright indignation. We are planning on a concert on the other side for the victims of Manchester slaughter, and we've gotten to know them over, and we're tearing up with Diana, and George and I are sending out our deepest condolences. We don't want this to contaminate the love and the great talent that's coming out of Great Britain with the music. I'm sending out all my love into my fans, and my special friends are gathered round this evening as we're overlighting, and we're going to have a concert, and we will also be overlighting your fine show this evening, The Peaceful Planet. Please do play a special song for the kids and also for the Divine Feminine. If we had more of the Divine Feminine anchored in the world, we wouldn't have this extremist philosophy and religions, you know. The patriarchal system of religions is particularly partly responsible to blame for this kind of attack. And any religion that says you must attack your mother, your father, or anyone for any reason is not of God. And I'm not a theologian, and I didn't like much religion when I was on the earth plane, and I still don't. Thanks to you, to your show, and the light workers and the peace workers all over the world, we can reestablish true spiritual qualities of a person and get peace and get love at last. I'm signing off now saying, remember peace, remember love. This is John Lennon coming in through and sending all my love into you. So that's on a higher note, and we're going to try to raise our vibrations up to the level of the Divine Feminine this evening. And I have one more message from Lady Alora, who is the oversoul of many of the goddesses that we will be discussing with Trisha this evening. And I'd like to read this message because it's so powerful. So do tune in. And I believe that Trisha has a very similar message. She's also an angelic channel, so stay with us. This is channeled by Lady Aurora, and she says, "I am the Divine Feminine." This was channeled in 2015. "This is Lady Aurora. I am of the Divine Feminine energy, and I come with the greatest love, awe, and respect of the Creator. I am of the creative intelligence of the Cosmic Mother, the birther of all radiance and vibration. I embrace you this day with the arms of the Divine Feminine. I held many names throughout the ages, such as Shekinah, Isis, Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, and many more in ancient cultures. I am the mother to all of you, all my people of earth, and the universal mother in the heavens. I am robed in the purest white and gold cloth. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I am who am. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the dance and I am the Shiva, the dancer. I pulsate with life energy, and I am the still waters of the soul. I am crying out to be heard in the society which pollutes the earth and denigrates women in false teaching. I yearn to become one with my people. I and the Father God are one, yet my cries for my people go unheard. My children are dying, the earth is in upheaval, and I yearn for my waters to be free, and my people everywhere to have joy. Listen to my call and hearken to the call of the Mother calling you home. I am Lady Aurora. I am the sound of the waves upon the beach, and I am the still waters. Blessed be who all who hear my plea for my people to make peace and let my children go free. I bless you. Rest in my truth today. I am Mother Comfort." So that concludes my messages, and I would like to introduce our wonderful guest this evening. It's posted on the website on Station One, her bio, and the cover of her book is titled "Return of the Divine Sophia, Healing the Earth Through the Lost Wisdom Teachings of Jesus, Isis, and Mary Magdalene." And here's a little bit about our honored guest this evening. Her name is Tricia McCannon, and she is a clairvoyant, historian, author, and teacher. Tricia McCannon is a renowned American clairvoyant, historian, author, and teacher who's traveled the world in search of answers to the greatest mysteries of the ages. For over two decades, she has been a headliner at conferences in both Europe and America. As a mystical symbologist and initiate in many ancient paths of wisdom, she has appeared on over 200 radio shows, including Coast to Coast AM, Dreamland, Gaia TV, and a number of international documentaries. She is the author of three acclaimed books, Dialogues with the Angels, The Return of the Divine Sophia, and Jesus, The Explosive Story of the Lost 30 Years and Ancient Mystery Religions. Her latest book, The Angelic Origins of the Soul, Discovering Your Divine Purpose, is due out in fall of 2017 through Inner Traditions. Initiated in many streams of wisdom, her workshops are a powerful synthesis of history and mystical wisdom. She is the founder of the Phoenix Fire Lodge Mystery School in Atlanta, a bishop in the Madonna Ministry, and is also the author of 30 DVDs and 13 online classes. She is a healer, hypnotherapist, and clairvoyant, and she has given readings to thousands worldwide in her continuing commitment to awakening inner awakening and world unity. So we are so glad to honor Tricia this evening, and I'd like to call in the divine feminine goddesses of Isis, Mary Magdalene, and all the holy ones in the ancient mystery schools assembled and overlighting our program this evening. And back online with Tricia McCannon. Thank you all, and stay tuned for a fascinating evening. We're listening to Appreciated Angels by the Halfbeats, John and George, from the Spirit Side, as channeled through Robert Murray, and we give thanks to James and Robert, and we are now back on air. Forgive us, we've had quite a few technical difficulties this evening with the sound, and so we have Tricia back with us, and I was so honored to have her on, and thankfully, we've got a good connection. Are you there, and can you hear me now, Tricia?
Yeah, I can, and thanks to your great producer, Doug, for persisting. We've had a lot of storms in the Atlanta area, so I'm sure he's probably dealing with some of that, but it's a pleasure to be with you.
It's a pleasure to have you, and your book is so, magnificent and long and full of the greatest research. I was an art history professor, and I wanted to start somewhere with the goddess. And, you know, if you go way, way back into ancient history and prehistory, there have been recent finds, even more recent than the Venus of Willendorf. And I, by the way, Tricia has illustrated the entire book with images and artifacts of the divine feminine from all over the world. And her research is extensive, but she's also an angelic channel. So she's got a lot of gifts that she's combining here into the return of the divine Sophia. So I was wondering if you could maybe trace the origins of Sophia in the ancient...
Marcia, I'm totally happy to just jump in. I know we've got a little limited window of about 30 minutes, so I'm going to give you everything I can in 30 minutes. As you know, because, you know, you have been following this movement yourself, as perhaps some of our listeners have been, you know, like a lot of us, I was raised in the Judeo-Christian world. I live here in Atlanta. And my dad was Baptist, and my mom was Methodist, and we all became Episcopalian. And I think that, you know, I always think of Episcopalian as Catholic light. It's got a lot of the cool stuff without the guilt and so forth. And,
yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
It does. And I, you know, like a lot of people, there's a lot that I found very beautiful about the Bible, particularly Jesus' teachings. But there was a lot that didn't make sense to me, particularly because it seemed like the God of the Old Testament was vengeful and wrathful and punitive, and then the God that Jesus was talking about was all about love and forgiveness and unity consciousness. And so these seemed like they didn't quite fit together. And, you know, I didn't exactly, like, I was one of those Sunday school kids that asked things like, well, wait a minute, if there was Adam and Eve and they had kids, who did the kids marry, you know? And this, of course, always made the Sunday school teachers very nervous. So I was always
asking...
An inquisitive
mind is never welcome in religious circles, that's for sure. So you were getting into the different strands of the Old Testament. You were mentioning Yahweh and
so,
the false
teaching.
Yeah.
So just let me go here for a little bit, if you don't mind. I've saved my voice all day long just to do your show, so I want to be able to share a little bit of this with my background with our readers.
Certainly.
Or our listeners. For me, I, you know, had always, as you know, I'm clairvoyant. I've had that gift since I was a little girl. I grew up across from a big forest, and I spent a lot of time in the forest meditating. I wouldn't have called it that as a child, but by myself tuning into nature. And I found that I began to be sensitive to really the intelligent energies, let's call it the guardian angels of the plant kingdom, the elementals, as a child.
Oh,
and so
cool.
When I was about 8 years old, there was an angel that was the overseeing angelic of that forest that came and began to teach me about the great hierarchy of worlds and how the light and the sound of God are stepped down vibrationally through the various dimensions to eventually arrive in the third dimension. And of course, this made perfect sense to me because I, like maybe a lot of our listeners, was very active on the inner planes as a child in my dream state. One night I'd find myself in the temples of golden wisdom being taught by masters. The next night I'd be in the bowels of the lower astral plane. The next night I'd be on board an ET ship. And I, you know, experiencing actually very positive things, not scary things. And so I knew it was a very multidimensional world, but of course the religion that I grew up in, at least as it was presented in the exoteric form, did not give a lot of explanation. I mean, Jesus said there's many mansions in my Father's house, or many houses in my Father's mansion, many rooms in my Father's mansion, but, you know, indicating the many multidimensions. But, you know, if you ask a regular traditional preacher, he really wouldn't even know how to respond to these kinds of experiences. So
did you share those experiences with your mother or any females or any Sunday school teachers?
Well, let me just say, my mom, I think, is a mystical Christian. She always has been. In fact, when I was in college She wound up going through a period where she was speaking in tongues and laying on of hands for about 2 or 3 years. She did not do it in any kind of a showy way. This was a private, deep spiritual thing. My parents had divorced, and they later remarried, but my mom was in a deep crisis, and she turned to God, and she made that powerful connection. And so I know that there's something very real and very valid about a lot of the beautiful evangelical energy that does come through, you know, traditional teachings. But I also knew there was more. So when I was in school, Florida State University, I met this group of masters, spiritual masters, called the Viragi Masters. And these are very ancient, long-lived, elusive beings that the word Viragi comes from Virag, the Sanskrit word, meaning detachment. And these are people who have detached themselves from the world. They're not getting married and having children and having jobs, and they're not ambitious and trying to make money in their bank accounts. They've detached themselves from that whole thing, and their focus is completely on the learning how to travel in these inner spiritual realms. And so they had a map to the multidimensional levels of reality, and they also taught something called the ancient science of soul travel, which is the ability that each one of us has, if we choose to develop it, to shift our consciousness while we're still in the physical body, in the 3D world, and to begin to access these higher states of consciousness, these higher planes. And in the process, meet masters, meet divinities, meet beings that are in alignment with God, with the big G, you know, the creator of all, but who are in service. And of course, many ancient religions talk about these gods and goddesses. They talk, I mean, the Hindu teachings talk about how there are kind of overlighting presences on all the different planes that are all working for the source, for the divine intelligence. And they hold a lot larger piece of the puzzle than we seem to, but yet a smaller piece than the infinite source of all that is. And this made sense to me. So, but I didn't, you know, I didn't know anything about the goddess, like everyone else. I was just doing the best I could, and I went into this spiritual teaching that had no dogma. It was really about ethics and direct experience with the divine. And that's what they call theurgy as opposed to theology. Theology is the mental conversation of God. Theurgy is the direct experience of God, which is what was sought in the great spiritual mystery school.
Very interesting. So were these Indian masters that were teaching these classes, or
they were masters from many different countries. There have been Greek, Persian, Asian, African, Egyptian, American, and there were about five of them that were still alive at the time. One was about 5,000 years old. One was about 3,000 years old. One was about 350 years old. One was about 60 years old. And so I began to work with them. And so in my, you know, normal life, I graduated from FSU. I came back to Atlanta. I became an art director for a magazine. Later, I opened my own commercial photography studio. I was the first female commercial photographer here when I was about 24 years old. And I went on to shoot for Macy's and Coca-Cola and IBM and many other Fortune 100 companies, and at a 5,000 square foot studio. So
you worked for IBM too, huh?
Yes, you know, they're
my
wonderful companies.
My father was an IBMer, and two of my brothers were, but I only worked there one summer. I wasn't IBM material. That's all left brain for me. That was too much left brain. So
well,
go ahead.
Let me say that I had a very successful career in the world of advertising and marketing, creative thinking. So I, as a commercial photographer and an art director, so I definitely have that part of my brain going. But my dad was a lawyer. And so, you know, I always had made A's in school. I exempted a lot of my academic classes in college. And I have a very grounded, historical, evidential kind of mind. And growing
yes,
up
I
in
noticed that from your books. It's full of research and it's very, very expert. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, growing up in the family that I grew up in, for me to sort of stray at all from the traditional Christian path, I really felt like I needed to have very solid evidence and ground beneath me. So when I was about 27 years old, as this is, you know, when, as you know, with my books, Dialogues with the Angels is the first one, and it chronicles from the time I'm a child and begin to experience these encounters with these masters and angels and higher divinities. Then the Jesus book that I wrote about the 30 lost years of Jesus really is a tour de force of the great spiritual mysteries that were being taught all around the world, and how the masters in these various paths had been waiting for Jesus to come for over 500 years. They were hoping he would come, and it's where he went, who he studied with, what they taught, and how it's reflected in his teaching. So that, you know, the way I was taught in traditional Christianity, it was, you know, Christianity on one side of the fence, and let's murder everybody else, those damn pagans, on the other side. Just like we've got the crazy kind of jihadists now as a subset of the Muslim religion, where they say our way or, you know, death. And so this is, of course, how the Inquisition treated it for 6.5 centuries, where they, you know, took out about 9 million women. And of course,
shameful. You're talking about the Inquisition.
Yeah. Well, I'm just talking about the fact that what we have in our world today, as I discovered through this journey, which I was just going to try to give you the beginning of how that journey took place and unfolded before I gave you the end of how it's shown up for me, is that we have an imbalanced world. We have a world that has a lot of great things in it, but it is primarily masculine-based, which means competitive, aggressive, warlike, dominator consciousness with, you know, bullying and so forth. And this has to do really with an imbalance in our thinking and the way we're trained. And, you know, it's nobody's fault in the sense that, you know, we can point fingers in today, because all the people today have inherited this system down through the centuries in a specific process. So men as well as women are the legacy results of this kind of thinking. And most of us don't know any better. We look around and say, how come there's war? Can't we possibly get along and live in peace? How come we're destroying the planet? Why are we so committed to polluting our air, our water, going out and killing our animals that don't need to be killed? I mean, you know, what is wrong, and how do we get into this imbalanced state? So the journey that I tell in Return of the Divine Sophia is the journey that I made that brought me to these questions and to finding the answers to these questions. And as you know, the book begins when I'm about 27 years old. I have an experience where I'm contacted in the dream state by the priestesses of Isis. And, of course, I have no idea in who the priestesses of Isis are any more than anybody else would. I mean, I always loved Egypt, just like most of us, was fascinated by it, but I certainly didn't have that direct connection. And so shortly after this very powerful set of encounters in the inner planes, which you know is how the book opens, I'm then contacted about 2 months later in the outside world, and I'm invited into this sort of magical course of study that completely opens the door for another level of history, a level of history that went on for tens of thousands of years on this planet, where men and women lived together in a peaceful partnership model, where there was no war, and where the kinds of problems that we're having today simply did not exist, because we were living with more balance in our lives, and where God was actually considered to be the goddess, because everyone could look around and see that in the animal world and the human world, that the only creature that gave birth was the divine feminine. It was the female. So who would have birthed the universe? Logically, it would be the divine mother, because men don't give birth. So how could the creator possibly be a man or a male? It had to be a female. And so as long as this idea was held, basically we were in balance. And then we wound up moving to where it was the divine father and mother, which is absolutely fine, because, of course, there is an aspect of the divine that's quite beautiful, that's the divine male as well as the divine female.
Right, yes.
And then it became the divine mother, father, daughter and son. That's great, because occasionally there are aspects of the Divine Mother and Father that incarnate and come to earth, as Jesus did, Mary Magdalene did, mm-hmm. as Krishna did, and Radha, as Rama and Sita did, as Isis and Osiris did. These aspects periodically take compassion on the human condition of suffering, and they come to earth to teach us a better way. And, of course, some of the time we kill them because, you know, whoever the powers are in power, the powers that be, they are threatened by a more holistic message. They are threatened by the idea that they can exploit others and make a profit on war or destroying the earth or destroying another country or another religion. And so,
quite correct, and that's the sad state of affairs that we have in our world today. However,
yes.
The Divine Feminine is entering in all her grace and majesty, and it's reaffirming and reasserting herself. However quietly that may be, we're highlighting it on the Peaceful Planet, and your teachings fit right in with what we're trying to do, is anchor more of her energy so that it
yes.
becomes more balanced.
So in The Return of the Divine Sophia, as you know, that book actually takes you on the hero's journey. And the hero's journey is the journey that all people who are seeking truth go on. We start off in a particular belief system, and then something happens to awaken us. And they call that the departure from ordinary or mundane reality. And
mm-hmm.
then we go on a journey. And along the way, we have allies that are wisdom teachers that come and support us, help us, give us insights. But we also meet challenges. We have to break through barriers in our own understanding that are sometimes represented by people around us who want to basically stop us in our path. And then eventually we gain enough wisdom and enough insight to really have something to bring back to the community, and that's called a return. So the book is literally written in that structure, and as you know, it toggles back and forth between these beautiful shamanic circles where I begin to learn about the many facets of the goddess, the many archetypes that women actually have embodied in the past, from the queen to the sage to the healer to the writer to the poet to the warrior, all these many archetypes that women can embody and have begun to embody in our day and age. And I begin to experience them directly. And then, of course, because I have such a logical lawyer-like brain, my shaman teacher will say something to me that is so different from what I learned in the patriarchal version of Christianity in Sunday school that I'll be like, what? And so then you have a couple of chapters where I go in and I do the research to find out actually what the truth is, as opposed to what it is we've just all been taught to accept without questioning. And so, you know, for people who are looking for a more complete picture, I think that book has 500 footnotes and 100 pages of back matter. So I've left the breadcrumb droppings for other people. If they're interested in following them, they certainly can. And it's the same with the Jesus book. That book has 1,200 footnotes and 100 pages of back matter. And, of course, as you know, I have a new book coming out.
Amount of research, but what I like about it is that you're interweaving your beautiful illustrations along with some of your angelic material that's been directly channeled through to you, too. And, I agree that, you know, the research that you did on Jesus and Mary Magdalene was quite right, and I'm currently writing a book on them, and
I'll be looking forward to getting to hear more when we have a longer show. I'm hoping
exactly.
that we can really open up a conversation.
But the thing I wanted to stress is that Mary's speaking a lot through a lot of her channels now, and
yes.
I'm one of them. But, you know, I was blessed with the memory of being her sister in that past life, so we already have a very well-established connection. I think that the untold story of Christianity is that Jesus did all these other things, and Mary was his chief disciple, and she was the wisdom teacher of the inner way mastery, and that has been lost to history. And think what a world
yeah.
we'd have if the world honored the divine feminine. We may not have had to go through two world wars, and all this repression of making her into the prostitute and all of this fallen women business.
Well, this is definitely one of the problems, Marcia, is that the archetypes that were handed down to us by this patriarchal dominant model, where women could be obedient virgins, okay, wives, but be a virgin,
right.
Even though Mary the mother went on to have like seven other kids, yeah, she always had to be the virgin. We could either be obedient virgins, which of course has made women who got married a lot of times feel like they had to sort of be uptight, or we could be the wanton woman, oh yeah, the prostitute, where Mary Magdalene was never a prostitute, and I can address that if you're interested. Or we had Eve, who, yeah, oh, she bit the apple, so she's to blame for all of humanity's suffering, never mind that Adam ate that apple too. Or yes, then we have Lilith, who was demonized because she wouldn't lay in the missionary position under Adam. None of that is true. That's what's so sad. Lilith, actually, if you ever read Edgar Cayce, was a female aspect of the divine Christed energy that came in along with Jesus in a much earlier incarnation, about 100,000 years ago, when humanity was really getting started on Atlantis. And so, you know, that was Amelius and Lilith. And so
I was going to say Amelius. That name immediately popped into my mind. You're quite correct.
Amelius and Lilith. So Lilith was completely
and masculine
railroaded. Then we have Eve, you know, and actually this is a whole other thing, is because if you actually study the Old Testament, there are the biblical scholars, which is a longer conversation than we have time for tonight, have figured out when these different sections were written. And basically, even in the first five books, which were called the books of Moses, which Moses never wrote. You know, I think something like 40 to 60% of them were written about 350 years after the Exodus, and the other 40 to 60% of those books was written someplace around probably 700 to 800 years after Moses. And that would be like someone asking me to write the biography of George Washington 250 years ago, and all I can remember is he cut down the cherry tree and, you know, he crossed the Potomac, you know, and he was the president.
Well, I enjoyed your take on the retake of the Egyptian history, Moses, and I always thought there was something funny about it, and I've had Egyptian incarnations where I've spoken to Akhenaten, and Akhenaten identified himself as Moses in a later incarnation.
Well, let me say that I'm sure that Moses was a very learned man, and I respect, you know, all the, you know, there were many learned people in that day because spirituality was different from religion. Religion, unfortunately, is pretty much the exoteric teachings. Spirituality is the inner connection, the theurgy that we were speaking about earlier. And that is a different conversation. And I'm sure that Moses was, you know, very well educated. He was a priest in Egypt. But as you know, there was the original Egyptian records that were written at the time that it happened portray a different version from the one that we've come to accept in,
yes,
you know,
and
Cecil
D. DeMille. Yes, and I was fascinated with that. I was just reading over that today. And I wouldn't be surprised, as a scholar of Egyptian history, too, there are different conundrums and theories about who Moses was, and he was a member of the Thutmose line, M-O-S-I-S, too. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of their history is more accurate, and you would expect it to be more accurate than the biblical history, which was written, rewritten in
well,
the era of
the story. The Hebrew people were nomadic people. They weren't builders. In fact, when they built King Solomon's temple, they actually had to bring in, you know, masons and architects from other countries in order to help them with it. They were survivors, and they were sheep grazers, and they were nomadic people. And so they didn't really have those skill levels. And, of course, you know, if I look around today, I mean, I'd say a third to half of my friends are Jewish. And I've incarnated Jewish, so I actually think the Jewish people are wonderful and above average.
Well, I have
in terms
great
of
love for the Jewish people and the state of Israel and everything. It's a wonderful religion. It's very, very full of profound teaching. But, you know, it is told from the vantage point of the winners. Again, Mother Mary always says that history is told by the winners. So you're quite right. In order to get to the truth, you have to look at the other side of the story. And you've done that so well in your book.
Well, part of what I track is that for at the time of King Solomon, about 950 B.C., the Divine Father and Mother and Daughter and Son were all honored, and there were priests and priestesses of all those groups. But in time, what happened is the priest of Yahweh decided to stamp out the Mother, the Daughter, and the Son. And the Son was the Son of love, the Son of self-sacrifice, much as we think of Jesus today. And so they got rid, it was very hard for them to get rid of them. But what happened is once the, about 722, the northern kingdom of Samaria fell to the Assyrians, and there were 10 tribes there, and then the two tribes that were down in Jerusalem didn't even lift a finger to help their brothers, but they were taken down by the Babylonians around 570 B.C., and they were in captivity for 50 years. They were not allowed to have physical synagogues, and so there was a lot of sitting around, you know, I'm sure by the rabbis and trying to preserve their religion by, you know, talking and making midrashes and so forth. So when they were released from captivity by the Persians needed a tax base. So they told the Jews that they would rebuild the temple. This would be the second building of the temple around 520, something like that, B.C., if the Jews would pay them taxes. And so only a third of the Jews even wanted to leave Babylon. The rest of them were happy. And the ones that went back were the priests of Yahweh. That's kind of when they got the upper hand. There were about 3% of the population that could read or write. They then started creating what we call the Old Testament, which biblical scholars will tell you that an enormous amount of the Old Testament was created 100, 200, 300, 400 B.C., and it was not even codified until 100 B.C. And so they did a brilliant job of making it appear as if it was a long unbroken history of one people. But in truth, there were a lot of different people, and they were nomadic people, and it wasn't a long unbroken. And for example, the Jews did not have the story of the flood or the story of the creation of mankind until Babylon. Those original sources are the Atrahasis and the Enumad Elish. And the Enumad Elish talk
of Gilgamesh.
Different. So then they talk about the fact that man and woman were created together by the Elohim, which is the plural of the gods that came from the sky.
And
so,
I believe that.
Correct. And so, of course, the patriarchal priest changed it to where man's created first by a singular God, and then woman is taken from his rib, and that's the excuse for women to be subservient to men for the rest of time. And so their version of reality is that women are a subset of men. But one of the things I discovered in my research with this is that all mammals, including humans, are created biologically female. In other words, the male exists because of the release of an additional androgen, making the male a subset of the female.
So the fetus itself is initially female for the first weeks of inception.
Well, so in other words, this is a complete reversal of what we've been told. And we've also found that we can track the bloodline of the female, the matriarch, easier because it fills up more of the DNA of the cells. And so, you know,
thank you.
Okay,
so we've got about 1 or 2 minutes.
I know it, Marcia. I'll just finish.
I'll
wrap up. Okay, so my point with this is not that we don't want the men. In fact, life would be very boring without our wonderful men. We love those men. The goddess loves
men.
And
we want to put out that we do love men, and we love the divine masculine as much as we love the divine feminine, but you're saying there needs to be balance, and I couldn't agree more.
That's really, it's really about honoring the male and the female and honoring the balance and the partnership model. And the more we can get to that balance in our thinking, in our actions, in our governments, in the way we treat the earth and each other and our relationships and our religions, it will change the world.
So
and
I
do believe that that is a grounding force for the world as it stands. And, you know, the angels are highlighting this event of the new earth, and we will eventually get there. But we're getting resistance right now from a lot of places in government and places in the Middle East, the wars, and it seems never ending, but we are to offer hope to the idea that eventually we will have a more equitable society.
So, Marcia, let me just say a few things because I know we're closing.
Yes. How can we get a hold of your book, and what conferences are you speaking at and reach you, et cetera?
My website is TrishaMcKinnon.com or TrishaMcKinnonSpeaks.com, and it's just like it sounds, TRICIA, Trisha, and McKinnon, MCCANNON. So it's very easy. You can Google me, and you'll see lots of YouTubes and so forth on there. I am speaking next weekend at Dolores Cannon's wonderful Transformation Conference in Eureka Springs. And that is actually all about the shift of the ages, the change of in the new earth, and so forth. So if people are interested in going to that conference, just look for Transformation Conference 2017. And then in July, the weekend following the 4th of July, I'm speaking at the Gaia Symposium in Mount Shasta. And the website that is not the Gaia Symposium, although that might get you there, but it's Awake Within the Dream. And that should be a wonderful conference at a university. And then I'm actually doing a tour, about a 6 or 7 city tour up through Ashland and Eugene and Portland, Oregon, and then Seattle, Washington, and then Vancouver in July. And then I'll be back home in August. But people can check out books and DVDs and, you know, as you know, I teach a mystery school. They can check out all this stuff. There's lots of cool free stuff on my website. So, you know, feel free to go there.
Well, really great to have you. And we're just introducing Trisha's work, and we are planning to bring her back in August sometime where we can touch on all these subjects in greater detail. And we thank you so much for joining us on the Peaceful Planet, and we send out blessings to the entire listening audience and to remind our audience that we will convene in 2 weeks' time with another great show. And check out my website at dianaspeakstotheworld.com and my services with Reiki and hypnosis and regression. And if any of you feel a connection to Master Jesus and feel you had a past life, please get in touch with me through the website. So many blessings to all of our listeners.
Thank you, Marcia.
And thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure to have you on.
My pleasure.
Barely scratched the surface. Okay. Thank you so much, dear.
Till the next time.
Blessings of the goddess to everyone.
You too. God bless.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Bye.